Hello, and welcome to the fourth Aperiodcast. So this one, we think, covers everything that's happened on the site since the 4th of June, which is about 2.5 weeks ago. I'm Peter Oller, and I'm joined by Katie Steckles.
Hello.
And Christine Perfect.
Hello.
Hello. And so what have you two been up to, Katie?
I have been, basically, I've been at the Cheltenham Science Festival for the last week and a half, as a volunteer, but also just basically hanging out with people and learning loads of cool science stuff and generally having an amazing time, but I'm now exhausted.
Cool.
So that's, yeah. I've not been on the site very much, in fact, so I've been inactive, that's why, but hopefully now I'll be able to do some more.
Yes. Well, I've been sat in front of a computer editing lots of stuff for work, so I've been also not on the site very much, but and not doing anything very exciting. But how about you, Christine?
I've been doing lots and lots of programming for my day job, which has left me in the mood to do lots of maths.
Cool.
and I've been keeping the site ticking over while you two have been busy.
Yes. Right, so Christine, why don't you start it off with what's the most read article of this last 2.5 weeks?
The most read article seems to be, and deserves to be, Alistair Bird's post, Ask a Mathematician, Where Should We Live? So he wrote in saying he'd like to write a couple of posts just about anything. So I said yes. And this one is, I think metric space or something. I do discrete algebra. I don't understand the maths. He's written about, he's made up a question. My partner and I are trying to buy a house. We both work in different places and neither of us enjoys commuting. How could we decide where to live? So the problem is how to pick a house that's equally close to two workplaces or equally far, or what's the fairest way to decide. And it's a nice fun read. So, yeah,
so it's sort of the start of triangulation. If you've got two workplaces, which define two points where you could live, but then it's not quite as simple as that. That's the point of it?
Yeah. If you just want to be the same distance between two points, it's on the perpendicular bisector. That's fine. But he has a look at some slightly different metrics. So. What if you take the square roots of the distances between them, I think. Some like other fractional powers of the distances. Then you end up with ellipses and he leaves it open what the shape for the more complicated ones is.
Right, because he has a sort of time limit to each workplace kind of thing, doesn't he? Anyway,
that's right. He worked out, rather than just as the crow flies distance, he got a map of travel times between places. From a good site called mapyourmental.com, and use those.
Cool. Okay, and so then the next thing that we cover is the most interesting comments discussion, and Katie, do you want to take us through that?
So we had a post this week from Colm, who's been writing some fantastic pieces for us. It wasn't this week, it was a couple of weeks ago, but it's prompted some interesting discussion. So it's about the Republic of Ireland maths exams, which are for 17 to 18-year-olds. And he discusses kind of what he thinks of those papers and how the exams are administered, with some examples, in fact, and he links to a few of the papers and you can see what the questions are like. But he's kind of a little bit unsure about this and he wonders if it could be improved. And there's been a little bit of discussion on that. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, then do take a look. Because it's been a little bit controversial. The phrase, I think that's a slightly unfair comment, is used, which is the first sign of an argument on the internet.
It's the mark of a good discussion thread, obviously.
Yeah, it's a polite argument, so that's good. But yeah, feel free to check that out if you're interested in that type of thing.
And I think in the comments we get a little bit into comparing the Irish system with the US and the UK system and things like that, don't we? So if people are interested in any of those, they could join in.
Yep.
Okay, good. Is there anything that's particularly caught your attention this week otherwise, Christian?
Apart from the best maths comedy video there's ever been, there's this, it's called the P-Value Extravaganza, and I don't know why it was made. It doesn't seem to be associated to any project or anything at all. It's just someone made it because they must love p-values this much. It's two people try to decide whether tapping beer works to stop a can from fizzing over after it's been shaken. Ronald Fisher makes a posthumous appearance, and it's excellent.
The corpse of Ronald Fisher makes an appearance.
No, a living Ronald Fisher. I hardly believe my eyes.
Yeah, it's goodness. Okay, I quite liked, there was a post by Colin Beveridge on his attempt to break a world record that doesn't really exist. There was a news story. Is it Sai Kiran subtracted a 70-digit number from another in 60.05 seconds? And this was reported in the media as breaking a Guinness World Record. And this was heralded as a triumph for Vedic mathematics. But in the blog post, Colin talks about how he found a trick that was being used in this. So basically, the subtraction was set up so that each digit in the first number is smaller than the corresponding digit in the second number, so that you'll always have to carry, and there's no sort of easy way of doing it. And that sounds sensible, but Colin realized that if you know that every number on the lower line is bigger than the one above, then you know for sure you'll always borrow 10 from the left and lend 1 to the right. So basically, the sum becomes just a simple memory trick. There's nothing to particularly think about each time. You just got to remember all these different digit sums, or possibly two digit sums. Anyway, so Colin practiced and practiced and practiced and broke the record at not the Maths Jam that was last night, but the one that was last month, the May 2012 Maths Jam in East Dorset. And then following that, he applied to the Guinness World Records to attempt to break it formally, and found out that there is no such record. So he's broken a record that doesn't exist following much practice, which is a tremendous shame, really. But anyway, it's an interesting post, and he goes into it in a lot more detail than I did there. So I think that's worth reading. So, Katie, how about you?
Well, I was quite excited to note that this week we've passed 50,000 hits on the site, which I guess is probably one of the sort of milestones of having a website. But we've been online for, what is it, a couple of months?
Yeah,
maybe
not
a few months now, since about, it was the 25th of April we launched.
That's right.
So since then, or maybe not since then, but overall we've had 50,000 unique hits on us. Is it not unique, but views on our site, which, you know, it's a fairly arbitrary milestone. But
you're stumbling over the precision of being a mathematician. Yeah, I think one or 2,000 of those were before we officially launched.
Yeah.
But since we've, I mean, to have in 50 odd days, you know, that many hits is quite incredible. So I think we're quite pleased with ourselves.
Yeah, I think some of that traffic will be due to the couple of things that we've had posted on other websites that have gone viral.
About half the traffic is from things that have gone mad. Yeah.
But you know, it's nice to know that we've got an audience, because we didn't know whether or not people would be interested in this kind of thing. But apparently, 50,000 people are. Or, you know, 50,000 hits on our website. 50,000
points in the time-space continuum, yes, that resemble people.
Yes, exactly.
It's lovely that people are reading, isn't it? I think we're enormously pleased.
It's very nice. And, you know, it's not necessarily an important figure, but it seems important because it's a big number with lots of zeros on it. So that's fine. We also had a nice email from Colin Beveridge of the Super Subtraction record attempt. And he said, really enjoying what I've seen of the A Periodical so far. I think it feels like a much needed pop maths magazine. Smiley face. Good work. So that's nice to know.
Yes, that's nice. We're very pleased with Colin for saying that. And actually, Colin, I don't know if it was that email when you wrote that, but he emailed us and said, or did he say on Twitter, I'd like to write up this super subtraction feat for the AP Radical, and I think Christian said yes, please do that, and got in touch with him that way. So this is something that we would like you to do if you're listening to this, and if you have something worth seeing. So this might be that you've got an idea buzzing around your head for a short blog post that you think people might find as interesting, or even a longer blog post, or maybe you've been to an event and you'd like to write a review of it. So Katie was talking about the Cheltenham Science Festival. You know, if you saw anything there that you'd like to write up, then do let us know. And the other thing we'd like to do is we'd really like to cover research mathematics that doesn't necessarily get covered by the press. So if you're in the habit of reading research articles, or perhaps you're keeping an eye on the archive or something like this, and you see something new that looks interesting, then please send it in.
I think at this point it doesn't even need to be new.
Okay. Because the submissions are not flying in like we might have hoped. But Christian, your friend, I've forgotten his name.
My friend Nathan, who had an 8-hour Viva yesterday. This needs to be spread to the world.
Oh.
Blimey.
We were sat around in the office until 10 o'clock last night.
Yeah, that's
so well done, intense. Nathan.
Yes. Anyway, so Nathan has offered to go through what you send in. So you don't need to necessarily fully understand or read this piece of research or summarize it for us or anything. You just need to point us to it and say, I think there's something here. And Nathan will go and put his mad math skills to it and work out whether it's worth posting or not. So, and Christian, there's another thing people can submit to if they're interested.
Yes, I'm doing the Carnival of Mathematics this month, apparently. So I think submit any your own blog posts, other blog posts that you've seen, and they'll get collected together by me at the end of the month into one big post. It's a good way of getting lots of traffic to your blog.
It's also a nice way of finding posts that have been written in the last month that you might not have seen otherwise. So yeah, if you're browsing, yes, if you've got a favorite blog, if you've got a favorite blog and you see something you like the look of, then do send it in. Okay, and so we should say what we have coming up and make some vague promises that we then fail to keep. Katie, how about you?
Yeah, here's a vague promise I'll definitely fail to keep. I'm still working on putting together a post about some maths that I've based a masterclass on. So I've written a masterclass which I do for Year 9 kids and various other kids at various times. And someone that I've worked with on it discovered that there was a nice little dinky bit of maths that of proper maths, real maths that you can do with it. So we've written a piece about that, and I'm hoping to do a video to go with it, which any day now I will find the time to make. And once that's done, this post will appear. So that's very exciting, but I won't spoil what it's about. But that, you know, that will at some point when I get a minute happen.
Good. Christian, how about you?
Well, Professor Etienne Guisse from École Normale Supérieure in Lyon gave a talk at Newcastle last week as part of his LMS lecture tour, and it was really, really good. So I emailed him asking for some of his pictures from his slides and a bit more information. I'm going to write a big post about what he's doing and with the dates for his future talks. That was the end of his first leg. He's doing another leg in the south of Britain. I'm also definitely, I'm promising you can all kill me if I haven't done it on the next podcast somehow. I'm going to do an interesting esoterica post because I've got absolutely loads now.
That's not too dangerous a claim because we don't have a regular schedule for this podcast. So if you're in danger of being killed, we can just put it off.
Yes. Excellent. Anyway, okay. It's going to have wobbly garden tables in it. It's going to have fusible numbers. And cardinal arithmetic for skeptics, I see, is in the list. So that's to look forward to.
So I still aspire strongly to actually writing some posts for my own blog for Travels in a Mathematical World, which we have listed as a column on the Aperiodical, which I've been sorely neglecting. And do we have anything coming in from any of the other people who post for us, Katie?
Yes. So if anyone is a follower of Puzzle Bomb, the monthly puzzle thing, oh, wow, I've just realised I've got 10 days to put together another puzzle bomb. In the most recent one and the one before, I think we had a puzzle called Spelling Bees, which was written by Paul, who has written stuff for us before. In fact, he's written stuff about Puzzle Bomb puzzles before, but he's written a post about the little computer program that he wrote to put together the Spelling Bees, which on the face of it seems to be a computer science-based blog post about a words-based puzzle, but it actually dives off into some nice group theory at the end. So look out for that appearing shortly. We're just waiting on some pictures to go in that, and then it will be up.
Good. And Christian, anything you're aware of?
Alistair Bird of the Ask a Mathematician Where We Should Live thing has a bees post as well. He's promised us something about bees. I have no idea what.
So it's possible that July will be bees month on the Aperiodical.
It will be. We'll get a bees theme for the site.
some kind of black and white and yellow, maybe red and blue as well, kind of theme, yeah.
I don't know what colour's the site already. Oh.
Done.
Okay, so we look forward to joining you in an irregular period of time to tell you about all the bees news that we've had going on over the site. And thank you very much for listening, and speak to you again, you two. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.